From the Sky News Centre at 7, some breaking news. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex have announced they intend to step back as senior members of the royal family. In a statement, Harry and Meghan say they'll work to become financially independent. They've also revealed they plan to split their time between the UK and North America. Our royal correspondent Rhiannon Mills has more.
It's interesting to see that they are saying that this is with the full support of Her Majesty the Queen. They also say that they will continue to collaborate with the Queen, the Prince of Wales, the Duke of Cambridge and all relevant parties.
The US presidents confirmed no Americans were killed in missile attacks by Iran last night.
We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases.
Two facilities were targeted in Iraq, where America and its allies have troops. It was in retaliation for the killing of a top Iranian general by the US on Friday. Donald Trump insists he doesn't want a conflict. Ukraine says it's sending a team of experts to the site of a plane crash in Iran. Three UK nationals were among the 176 people who died when the jet came down in Tehran this morning. In sport, Leicester and Aston Villa meet in an hour in the second League Cup semi-final. Brendan Rodgers says it's vital his team take advantage of being at home in the first leg.
The players have been brilliant up until this point. We want to go and hopefully create some sort of advantage to take the Villa part.
While Villa boss Dean Smith says they'll be going all out too to lift the trophy.
It's a competition that as a football club we've got a great history. Certainly everybody's looking forward to this game.
And England cricketer James Anderson has been ruled out of the rest of their series in Cape Town. The bowler suffered a rib injury in his side's test victory against South Africa earlier this week. That's the latest. I'm Anna Russell.
Sponsored by Eastbourne Auctions, your local sale room with the international reputation, selling in the sale room and live online around the world. Call Eastbourne Auctions 01323 431 444 or go to eastbourneauction.com.
Just approaching 3 minutes past seven on this Wednesday evening. Sea Haven temperature currently 9 degrees. It will stay like that overnight. Tomorrow, Thursday, light rain showers, I'm afraid, are predicted throughout the day. Daytime temperature 13 degrees. Overnight, it will drop down to 5. Tomorrow, unfortunately, it's going to be the wind that's the problem. Southwesterly wind, 20 miles per hour. Sunrise, 8 o'clock in the morning exactly. Sunset, 14 minutes past four in the afternoon. On Friday, slight respite. Sunny intervals throughout the day, although a cooler day. 8 degrees maximum, overnight down to 5. Wind drops slightly northwesterly. That is the cold one, though. 12 miles per hour. Sunrise on Friday, 7:59. Sunset, 16 minutes past 4 in the afternoon.
Sponsored by Eastbourne Auctions. Call 01323 431 444 or go to eastbourneauction.com.
Hi, good evening. 4 minutes past seven on this Community People evening. I'm Len Fisher with you right up till 9 o'clock. I'm delighted my guest tonight, let me turn that down slightly, Graham King, who is the pastor of the Evangelical Free Church in Peacehaven. Graham, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes, thank you. So good to be with you tonight.
Perfect.
See you on radio. Thanks for having me.
Nice and loud. We've got a really interesting story to tell over the next 56 minutes after the rest of Mason Williams. Mason Williams, starting this edition of Community People. I say my guest tonight, I met him an hour ago actually, really nice chap, Graham King. I'm not going to keep saying Pastor Graham King, if that's all right with you.
Graham's fine.
Put your volume up just a little bit. Okay, tell us a bit about the church first. This is in Peacehaven, yeah?
Yes. I'm the pastor of the Evangelical Free Church down on the South Coast Road in Peacehaven, and I've been there for about 2.5 years, and it's a wonderful, warm, growing family church, has an outreach into the community and lots of things happening in the building. and it's a joy to be there.
Yeah, lovely town as well, isn't it?
It is nice to be on the coast.
As we said earlier on, apart from the traffic in the last couple of days.
Especially today,
yeah, and tomorrow. So what brought you there? I mean, again, chatting off air, you've been to a number of places, haven't you?
I have. My family and I were actually living in Hungary for 18 years prior to this move back to England. And we were doing missions work. I was teaching full-time in a school, pastoring two churches and teaching in a Bible college. I was full-on. And then we just felt it was time for a move. So this door opened for us to come back to England, and they were looking for a pastor, and we were looking for an appointment. So it's been an amazing connection. We're very thankful.
So that was, what, a couple of, two and a half years?
2.5 years ago,
about 2.5 years. Yeah. And can we explain, I know you explained to me off air, the pecking order as far as the evangelical church is concerned. You're not dictated to, are you, by above as such?
No. We're in an independent church. We have our own elders within the church, who effectively the members vote and decide on any major decisions, and we're part of an evangelical association with about 600 evangelical churches across the UK, but we're an independent church.
Yeah, so the elders as such, what are they, elected, or do they stand a period?
Elected by the members.
By the members, and the members of the congregation or the flock or whatever you call it. Yeah. And we were chatting off air, so you come up with an idea, or the elders may come up with an idea, or we're going to hear about the Indian project, which is really interesting. Listener, have a listen to this later on. And you put it then to the members, and if the members say yes?
Yeah, I mean, when the project began, it was before my time. It was about 12 years ago it started. But the elders at the time put it before the church, and then after some time of prayer and consideration, that the members were on board, and it went forward from there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to spend a lot of time talking about that. Look, let's just go back to the church as far as Peacehaven is concerned, because it isn't just about this one project. You do a load of other things, don't you?
Sure. Yeah, we're a very active local community church. We have a building that is utilized by many different parts of the community. Different groups come in and rent halls and slimming groups and art groups and things like that. Then we have a youth group that we run on a Friday night, coffee mornings and Bible classes, and of course our main service on Sunday mornings, and so it's a hive of activity down there.
Flexible space as well, because it needs to be as well, doesn't it? Churches need to be now.
It does, and I think the heart is the local evangelical church for Peacehaven. Our heart was really to be a church that could serve the community in many different ways. So we're glad to see that happening.
Yeah. Okay. And you obviously work with other organisations. I mean, I think we were chatting about the youth service, weren't we? And you know, how the people get to you. I mean, do they just turn up, or are there referrals to the church, or is it word of mouth?
I think a bit of everything, really. There's lots of different ways that people are connecting with us and finding us through word and mouth, because Peacehaven is, of course, it's got that community feel and people talk, but through the website and meeting people and often hearing wonderful stories about how people come through our doors and to see the church growing is exciting.
We'll have a chat. There's loads of things. I specifically want to talk to you about the Indian project. Let me just play a little bit of music first before we go on to that. What do you find? Do you have a preference on music or not?
I'll leave that to you.
Leave that to me. All right. Well, I'll see what's on next on my playlist. Let me just press the button. This is Alison Moyet.
We'll be right back.
1984, Alison Moyer, Love Resurrection. My guest tonight on Community People, I'm not going to say any more, Pastor. He is the pastor at the Evangelical Free Church in Peacehaven. It's Graham, a really nice bloke. I want to talk to you specifically, Graham, about the India project, because it's really important, isn't it? And can you talk us through it?
It is. It's really an inspirational story, and I think it's wonderful that we can share it with our Sussex listeners, to think about a small, local, evangelical church that's had an impact in such an incredible way in such a far distant, needy land, in a place called Paralakumundi, a small town in the state of eastern state of Odisha in India. And you don't often hear these types of stories, so it's a joy to be able to share it. And it all started with a young man called David, who was in one of these tribal mountainous villages up in Odisha. And when he was younger, he was a Christian, and he had a heart to help some of the orphans, some of the street kids. So he was doing what he could to help some. And he also had a dream that one day he'd get to visit England. And by what I might call divine providence, he was able to come and visit England. And it was a completely different world. He was blown away coming here, and to cut the long story short, he was on the top of a double-decker bus driving along the South Coast Road, and he sees the Peacehaven Evangelical Free Church, and he says in his heart, I have to go to that church. I have to speak to them. So sure enough, on the Sunday morning, he came, and he spoke to two of our leaders, our elders, and he said to them, please come to Paralakumundi, come to Odisha and see the orphans, see the work that we're trying to do. Please come. And he pleaded with them, and then the weeks rolled by, and Jeff and Richard, two of our leaders, older gentlemen in the church, they said, listen, if we don't go, we'll never know. Uh-huh. So let's go. So all power to them, really. They did it. They got their tickets. They flew to India. They spent some time in Delhi, and they flew down to Vishakhapatnam, another airport down south, and they got in a 4x4, went up into the mountains, hours up into this tiny little village area, and with David, and he shows them what he's doing, and he effectively had about 8 or 9 young orphan boys and girls living in one room, sleeping on the dirt floor, really living hand to mouth, just from a bag of rice, and just really real hardship. And of course, this is in a part of India where really most people never see, never go to, and it's quite shocking the conditions that they have. And so they saw this, and they were moved in their heart, and they came back to the church, and they shared what they'd seen with the church. And after some prayer and time, the different people and members in the church said, you know, we would love to be a part of seeing something happen to help these children. So over the years, through lots of different ways, of course, just from the church budget and from different ways of giving and supporting, people personally giving, through the Mums and Tots group and the Slimming group and art group and fundraisers, just slowly but surely money coming in. The next year they went back there, they purchased a small plot of land, and they built the foundation, and really brick by brick and pound by pound, they were able to see this building raise. And what's there today is really an impressive 3-story building, which is a wonderful provision for about 55 beautiful orphans and street children from about the age of 5 to 19.
Wow.
Yeah, so
wow.
It's a miracle, really, what's happened.
You can give us some more details, but that's almost, as you say, divine providence. It was meant to be, wasn't it?
I think when you go there, because I'll be going for my third time next week. We go on our next trip. So I've been twice. And on those trips, there's certain things that really strike you. And one of them is you can't help come to that conclusion of what an incredible connection it was when David met the church.
Yes.
Because today I think the church senses the great privilege of being connected to that orphanage, and the orphanage sees the great connection too also. So we're all so thankful for what's happening.
And I'm sure there were hundreds of sort of setbacks on the way, but how did the Indian people take to Christian people coming in saying, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to build an orphanage? I mean, were there Were there restrictions on the way? Was it difficult?
Well, Odisha is 29 states, and Odisha is one of the states. Of course, it's very strong Hindu, 94% Hindu. And of course, there's a real sensitivity David has to have with running the home, and can't really over advertise that it's Christian. But he has to navigate that carefully. But they have Bible teaching, and these are beautiful Christian children with a living faith, you know. Mm.
So they don't school there, you were telling me.
We do have a desire in time, and with the leading and the budget, to perhaps see it become an English medium school. But at the moment, it's really just a provision for housing and feeding them and clothing them, meeting their needs. But they go to a local public state school.
I see. And then come back there to sleep.
So it's a couple of miles walk through a kind of jungle kind of area. I walk with them one morning, and it's quite an experience just to walk to school.
Listen, I've got so many things, absolutely loads of things I want to ask you. We'll come back in a minute after a short break and the Searchers.
Sold it is.
Eastbourne Auctions are getting ready for their next sale and invite you to bring your fine art, antiques and collectibles, or even those forgotten treasures that have been in your cupboard since before you can remember. Don't miss out on a free valuation. What could you discover?
Call Eastbourne Auctions 01323 431 444 or go to eastbourneauction.com.
Sold it is. And
whisper it quietly. It's Seaford's best kept secret. The good old days are back. Steamworks Bakehouse and Bar at Seaford Railway Station is a real gem, serving freshly brewed coffee, freshly prepared food, local cask ales, beers, gins and much, much more, all in delightfully friendly surroundings, creating an atmosphere of good old-fashioned hospitality. Steamworks at the railway station. Pop in and discover Seaford's best-kept secret.
At Bluebird Care, our carers understand that each individual has different needs. Perhaps your loved one might benefit from 24-hour live-in care, which includes a free weekly health and well-being check. If you're not sure, why not try 24-hour care for a month with no obligation? Bluebird Care, quality care for each individual's needs. We're rated as outstanding for effective by the Care Quality Commission. See bluebirdcare.co.uk or call Lewis 022-055.
Need a taxi? 898888. Local journey? 898888. Long distance? 898888. Beacon Taxis Seaford, your reliable local taxi company. Got the number? 898888.
You already know that Everett Tiles make tiles easy. But you have to find our showroom to really take advantage of our fabulous current offers. With great deals on tiles for bathrooms, kitchens and conservatories, including our popular new wood effect tiles. There's plenty of on-site parking at our Cradle Hill Road showroom on the Cradle Hill Industrial Estate, Seaford. Plus, free local delivery and help on hand from our friendly and knowledgeable staff. Everett Tiles, a place worth finding, where tiles are made easy.
A better mix on
1964, The Searchers, Needles and Pins. Fair enough on my show last night. I think I had the smoky version of that, Chris Norman. But anyway, my guest tonight, really enjoying this, Graham King, who's the pastor of the Evangelical Free Church in Peacehaven. And we chat a whole number of things about how the church started and some of the things they do. But we're currently talking, and this is the major project, we're currently talking about the India Children's Home, which started in 2008. And 55 or so orphans. We've heard the story about David and the inspiration that something or other brought David over to Peacehaven to see your church elders. And I think just before the break, we got to the point where you are walking up to the village, aren't you? Or you're walking to school with them. What was your first impressions of life out there?
Well, my first impression when I came to Paralakumundi, which is the town, it's a town at the foothills of the mountains of about 50,000 people. And of course, there are so many things that are messing with you when in terms of your cultural norm, the noises, the smells, the sights, the way they do things. It's a lot to take in when you first go. And in some ways, nothing really can prepare you for going to India, and particularly this region. It's really the region, the areas where most people don't go or never see. But I remember the first time I saw the children's home, which is, of course, the main reason we take our trips and we have our vision for that. We're driving out of Paralakumundi and we go out into the countryside, and all of a sudden it appears on the horizon the most brightly colored building you can imagine. And that's because David allowed the children to choose the colors to paint the home. And it's bright green, bright pink, bright orange. And it looks like Noah's Ark sitting out in the middle of a field, and we pull up the dirt road into the courtyard of the home, and these children just stream down the stairs, and they're hugging you and smiling, and just there's so much love and thankfulness. It's really overwhelming. That was a very powerful moment for me to really see the whole heart of why we've all the sacrifice that's been made, all of the years of and labor and the visits, it's at the heart of it. It's for those children, to make a difference in the lives of those children. So, that's something that will always stay with me.
Yeah.
And of course, you fall in love with the children as soon as you see them. But some of their backstories really will really break your heart as well, because unfortunately, the circumstances that have brought many of those children to that place have a very sad element to it. For example, one boy was telling us this past year that the reason he ended up in the home is because his parents were working out in the field and there was a mudslide. They were both buried and killed instantly. Another, his father was bitten by a snake and killed. Road accident was another one. He lost his parents in a road accident. But perhaps the most moving was this past year, we had 13 new children who were added to the home. So from my first trip, these were new children for me to meet. And two of them were 5 years old and from different families, different villages. And they both lost their parents in a hurricane back in November of 2017. And that was actually why all of these 13 children had been added. From different stories, this was now their new life. All of a sudden, they wake up the next day and this little children's home and this team of Christian volunteers in this home is their new life, their new family. The youngest two, now the youngest in the home, Rahil is the girl, and she is the most beautiful little five-year-old Indian girl with big brown eyes. She looks up at you with this huge smile. And I remember the first time meeting her, she's standing there with this beautiful dress, but with dirty feet, with no shoes in the dirt. I'm like, where are your shoes? You know, someone had actually given us some money, which we used to buy new shoes for all of the children that last visit. But it's incredible to think that place serves as such a provision for some of these children and some of the things they've had to face.
And that is solely. As a result of the church and the people of Peacehaven.
Exactly. Which is why it's such a joy to share this on this local radio to the Sussex listeners, to think about a small local church or community that through simple heart giving and a vision have been able to make such a difference.
Mm.
Of course, the need over there is immense. Everywhere you look, there's so much need, and you can't do everything, but you can do something.
No, the danger is because it is so vast, and there is so many things to do that you do nothing. So at least, you know, there's 50-odd people there, 50 yeah. little kids that owe their lives.
Yeah.
And their futures to a certain extent. So what happens to them then? I mean, they're still getting their school in, which is important, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah.
Because I visited India a couple of years ago, I was saying to you off air, and a lot of the parents don't send their children to school because it's more economical to send them out begging.
Right, right. And, well, I think the home certainly increases the chances for the children in many ways, in terms of their health and opportunities. I mean, our desire is that it could become an English medium school.
Yeah.
And we actually, right now, we also support some of the older children who have been at the home from the beginning. Now we support them to go to college a little bit each month. So there's a few of them that are now in college, and that probably they wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise.
No.
So there's those wonderful
probably not even alive, some of them.
Yeah, some of them for sure. Yeah.
So what about, I mean, the conditions out there? I know you said they're pretty dire, but hospitals out there, the medication, I mean, is that readily available or not?
There is. I mean, Jeff, one of the other men that we go on the trips with, he said to me a few times, I have to take you to the local hospital because it's such an eye-opening experience. Just another one of those things that's quite shocking, the standards of medicine and provision that they have. I remember on the last trip, someone had given me some money last minute and said, listen, you'll know what to use this for when you're over there. And we were going through one of the mountain villages, and these are villages way up in the middle of nowhere. Some of them you have to drive a couple of hours in a 4x4 just to get there. And we're up in this village, and these women are out the front of the house. They asked me to go in to pray, so I go in the back. There's a woman lying on the bed, and she'd broken her femur. And of course, there's so much malnutrition. They have easily break bones and things like that. So this lady had had a fall. She'd broken her femur. She was quite young, 45 or something, and she asked me to pray. So I'm praying, and of course, in that moment, I'm thinking, well, this is what this money is for, to help this lady. And we managed to get her to a hospital, get her an X-ray, get it reset. And otherwise, of course, she would have been suffering the consequences of that with no way out of it.
Yeah.
A similar story on the first trip, Richard met, there was this young girl, little girl of about 9 years old, I think, and she was begging on a pallet. And she'd been playing in the tree. She fell out the tree, broke her leg. She would have been crippled. The doctor set it incorrectly, then broke it again, reset it incorrectly. She would have been a cripple. And Richard, when they came back, he was just said this, I have to do something for that girl. So he asked David to find her. And again, they managed to get her the treatment. And now she's has complete mobility and she's starting college. And but there's so many needs like that. And you just have to be careful and wise on which
just
which
can't do everything.
Help. Yeah,
is and I know we haven't discussed this. The areas that you go to is there sort of is it a war torn area? There's no fighting or anything like that.
Not
like certain other areas on the border, perhaps.
It's just the places that we visit. Just a very remote, very poor. You find yourself in this mountainous area with this. Kind of a valley in between where they have paddy fields, and you're just saying, how did I get here, you know? And again, most of these people have never seen a white face before, not since the Canadian Baptist missionaries were there in the 1900s. And so it's quite something to go to those places.
And language-wise, how do you overcome that? Because they're not all going to speak English, are
they? So David and his brother, they speak... David's brother speaks seven of the dialects.
Because there's going to be different dialects, isn't it, in a country that size? Yeah.
Odia is the main language of the region, but he speaks. So we use translators for everything. I mean, no one speaks English over there.
No. Okay. And you're off again next week.
We're off again next week for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. What are the plans? Is there a specific project? Or?
Well, the trip is very diverse, and you don't always know what to expect. One day can bring something, you know, quite unexpected. Last time I said to David, you know, David, what's happening tomorrow? And he said, oh, you'll be speaking at a conference up in the mountains to 1,000 Christians. And I'm all, oh, thanks for telling me. So, and we did that. We went up to the mountains and under these bamboo roofs that they put in, there was 1,000 people up there. We had a sound system and we were able to teach and preach. And so it's a wonderful experience.
But back to the orphanage again.
Yeah, we're at the orphanage every day. Catch up with the kids. With the children, of course, we take a few extra bags of supplies over. And also when we're over there, which is often the easiest way to buy certain supplies they might need, shoes and clothes and food, bags of rice and potatoes and things that will last them some time. Yeah. And of course, we leave them with funds as well.
Because there's a danger you'd westernize them otherwise. And if you start taking over Brighton and Hove Albion shirts or something,
Exactly. There's some sensitivity there. Of course, you want to meet their needs. But one of the things in the beginning is that they furnished the rooms with beds, which would seem an obvious thing, but they just don't sleep on beds. They all sleep on a thin mat on the floor. So even though the beds were there, the kids were just still sleeping on the floor. So in the end, David, got rid of the beds, sold the beds, I don't know, but they didn't need them. So you just want to meet their needs and be sensitive to their way of life.
So it's not interfering, but it's helping. And I know, well, I want to touch on the leper colony because you and I again talked off air. Different area, I know, but you got involved in the leper colony out there, and I was really quite surprised that in this day and age there were still lepers around.
Yeah,
but again, as you pointed out to me, you tell the story.
Well, of course, our main focus over there has been the children's home, and although we could say the last lick of paint finally was put on the building last year, but there's still lots of things, lots of maintenance that needs to take place with the home, with tiling floors and things like that. So there'll be a continual financial need for the home. So that's our focus. But as an extended ministry through David, there's also a ministry to the local leper colony there in Paralikumundi. And there's about 25 lepers on this colony. And I know that when I went there, I was so taken back. I just had to put my sunglasses on and put my head down. I was just trying to keep it together, because you really can't believe that people are living in such conditions. And they're beautiful people. Half of them in that colony were Christians and welcomed us. One lady said, "Oh, these supplies that you bring, these blankets and these potatoes and this food, this is wonderful and it helps us. But the greatest thing that you bring us is the love of God, and that will stay with us forever." Mm. And those types of things, of course, for us are so meaningful. Yeah. And one of the girls in that home, she was abandoned as a baby in the field next to the hospital. And she was found by one of the lepers, one of the ladies, found this baby in the field. And, of course, because she touched the baby, no one else would take it.
Right.
So this baby ended up being raised on the leper colony, although she doesn't have leprosy.
No.
And she's a beautiful teenage girl now, about 17 years old. But she spent her whole life on that colony, and her mother is this leprous woman.
Yeah.
And stories like that just are very, very moving.
Yeah.
But when Richard and Jeff did the first trip 12 years ago, they came back and Richard said, "Surely there's something we can do, medically we can help them. There must be a cure." So through the National Health Organization or whatever, they made some inquiries and they managed to get the medicine needed for them to be cured. So now they don't actually have the disease of leprosy, but nevertheless they still have the scars and the symptoms of it. So they're still ostracized from community, their livelihood is begging, and they still are incredibly in incredibly poor circumstances. Yeah. So it's very sad and moving, but
I mean, often on this show, I hear some harrowing stories and I end up thinking about them when I go home. And I'm sure you just must take all of these things home with you all the time, don't you?
You do. I mean, of
course. Especially when you're seeing it as well.
You do. There's I just remember thinking, God, you can't help but be, in a sense, changed in many ways when you see those types of things, when you connect with that need and the love and the response and the thankfulness and the life of the children. And there's lots of things that have a real impact on you. Of course, the consolation for us is that those children, because of course, as a Christian church, our desire is not only that their physical needs are met, but that their spiritual needs are met. These children now, they have Bible teaching and prayer, and they're really the most beautiful, thankful, happy Christian children that you could ever meet. It's just a joy to know them and to meet them and to be a part of their lives.
Okay. Really, there's a few more things I want to ask you. Time is flying by, because there'd be listeners out there at the moment thinking, well, how can I help? In what way can I help? I can't necessarily go to India with the team, but there'd be financial ways that you can help. And we'll talk about that in a couple of seconds, if we may.
We were going to ask Nathan here what he reckons to the freshly made sandwich he's just bought for lunch from Bert's Bakery, but he's a bit busy right now. Bert's Bakery, the only independent bakers in Seaford. All produce locally made for that extra freshness and quality, including sandwiches and rolls on demand, and hot savouries available in our shop at Sutton Road, Seaford, next to Harry Nat's. Right, Nathan?
At the end of the day, the bottom line is, you need your accountant to push the envelope, get the ball rolling, move the goalposts, be on the runway, do some blue sky thinking, think outside the box, think inside the box, push the envelope. Done that. Tickle the trout. Huh?
At Tasker Osman, what you get is straightforward, friendly, honest advice, all tailored to your needs. And that's it. Tasker Osman. No nonsense accounting. See taskerosman.co.uk.
At Claremont Interiors, we're very proud of our family business. From design to completion, we tailor-make kitchens, bedrooms and studies exactly how you want them. And because we're a family, we care about your home just as much as we care about our own. Claremont Interiors, designed by Mum, built by Dad, made by Sons. For beautiful bespoke designer rooms, pop along to our studio in Claremont Road, Seaford, or see claremontinteriors.com.
So, I'm at my neighbour Angela's, and she says, I'm going to see Mark. And she had a big smile on her face. We were surrounded by, well, junk, I thought it was. But looking back now, all I can see is a wad of £20 notes, plus at least 100 quid hanging from her ears.
If you've got any jewellery or antiques that you think might be valuable, bring them along to Mark. He might put a smile on your face. Mark's Jewellers, 16 High Street, Seaford. Call Seaford 873090.
Boney M. From the 70s, gotta go home. My guest tonight, really enjoying this. Such an important story as well, and a very sort of emotional story. Graham King, who's the pastor of the Evangelical Free Church in Peacehaven, and we're chatting sort of about the project over there, and we've been chatting off air as well. And you were telling me that on your last night there, a lot of the kids just suddenly opened up and sort of started telling everyone how they'd become orphans.
Yes, one by one, through the translator, the children started to share their stories about how they came to the home. And I remember the first, there's this one particular teenager there, Rajit. He's been there since the beginning, since he was 8 or 9. He was the first one to stand up, and he shared his story about how both his parents were killed, and all of a sudden he finds himself in this home. And as he tells the story, he starts to choke up and he starts to break, and he's just looking down at the ground trying to get through the story. And then he sits down, and they're all sitting on the floor in the room, and then the next one stands up, shares a story. And before you knew it, the room was just filled with sniffling and all of the children really identifying with each other's stories and different circumstances. But in some ways, they're all have such an understanding of what it means to be in the home and have a lot of empathy and love for one another. The volunteers have such a heart for the kids to help them process what they've been through and what their new life means. And of course, we're sitting there and we're just sobbing as well because these are real lives.
How could you not?
Children,
yeah.
And of course, when we left after that meeting, we get in the 4x4, we're just about to drive out of the home, and the children are all crowding around the car. They're reaching through the window, and I remember we're driving away. There's five of us in the car, five men, and Richard, you know, he's an ex-army guy, and no one could talk for half an hour. We were just quiet. Just quietly processing the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's quite something. Yeah, those children will change your life.
Yeah. Yep. Is this the most rewarding? I know you've been doing a lot of things throughout your life. Your comparatively short life, because you're quite young, obviously.
Well, thank you for saying.
Well, you certainly compared with me, you are. But is this one of the most rewarding ones? Projects?
I suppose. Well, obviously, I answer from my perspective as a Christian and as a pastor. I find what I do on many levels so deeply rewarding because it's something that affects people's lives in the most important way. That's not just in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. And I've had the privilege of visiting and living in many different countries in my life, and I've done missions work in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and Azerbaijan and. Lived overseas for many years, and in Romania when we lived in Europe, we visited orphanages in Romania. I lived in Bulgaria for some time. We did orphanage work there, so it's not all new to me.
No.
But nevertheless, India is its own arena. It's its own world, and there are similarities, but obviously great differences. So, going to India has been something I would say. It's immeasurable, I would say. Is it what the most rewarding? They're all immeasurable experiences, really.
Yeah, I'm with you. And just on sort of financial terms, if a listener's out there at the moment thinking, well, I'd really like to help, I don't necessarily want to get too involved in the church side of it, perhaps they may want to, and we'll talk about how they can do that. But, I mean, what does it cost in general terms to keep one of these kiddies, one of these orphans for a week, in monetary terms?
Yeah. Well, there's different, people can give in different ways and in different measure. They can give just as a one-time gift. They could give on a regular basis if they want. Anything is welcome. Every penny makes a difference. And we're very glad to be able to say that we know that every penny hits the ground there. There's nothing taken off.
There's no administration
fees. Everything that's given gets to meet the needs of the running of the home and the provision of the children. So that's wonderful to be able to say that, because often you give to certain charities and you never really know.
90 pence in the pound will go on admin.
Yeah, you never really know. So it's wonderful to be able to say you give a pound and that pound is going to make a difference. Yeah. So we approximate that it costs about £25 a month to cover the needs of one child.
£25 a month.
That's the housing, the electricity, the food, the clothes, all in for one child. So people could give £5 or they could give £50, but that gives people a general idea. Mm. If they want in their mind to be thinking, oh, I'm supporting a child, it would be about £25 a month.
£25 a month, okay.
But then there are other people who give, for example, the other day someone just gave some money, said, listen, I want to give this towards the leper colony, and that's maybe just a one-time gift, but with that couple of £100 or so, we'll be able to buy a whole tuk-tuk of supplies that will last them months to live on.
Okay, and the best way for someone really to get in touch with you? I mean, apart from coming to the church on the Sunday, but let's talk first off about someone out there at the moment thinking, well, I'd like to have a look at a website. I'd like to see what these people are doing. What's the best?
Yeah, so our church website is pefc.org.uk. If you go to that site, under the About Us, there's a drop down for donate. There's a donate option, and you just select donate for India. And it will mark whatever money's given. You can pay through PayPal on the site, or you could send a check payable to PEFC and in brackets India, or you could put money in an envelope and drop it in the church anytime. Whatever's easiest. So just email us if you have any questions.
The listener again: P Papa E Echo F Foxtrot C Charlie PEFC. Says Peace Haven Evangelical Free Church, presumably. .org.uk. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Or they could email you, or they could pop along on a Sunday morning.
And
just sort of say, hey.
Yeah, and there's often someone in the building during the week. If someone just had it on their heart to drop something in, that there'd usually be someone in there. But for sure, Sunday morning, there's lots of people there.
Yeah, okay, good. And no doubt you have loads of people that are supporting you. I mean, obviously, you got a loving family, and your wife and kids. They lose daddy every so often, don't they?
Well, I'm only out. You mean to India?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean in India.
In India.
Tonight. Yeah, we'll be gone for 2 weeks this coming trip, and I'll be praying for my wife and three kids while I'm away, yeah.
But you do need support of the family as well, don't you, on projects such as this?
Yeah, they're very exciting. In fact, my middle daughter, Emily, the shout out for you there, Emily. She was almost coming on this trip with me, but it didn't work out. But a future trip, I'd love to take one of my children because the impact something like that would have.
Yeah,
We've had.
Well, it has on me tonight, just listening to you talking about it.
Richard brought his grandson last year, and I know it had a deep impact on him.
Who were the two elders, or who was the one elder that I met? Because this all started.
I think that was probably Jeff Collington recent event.
Because we went to the event that the mayor was hosting in Peacehaven Claude, which I think was his Indian night, his curry night.
Ironically, yeah.
Which was, it was actually. And this chap came up and accosted Tom and I and sort of said, oh, you need to hear this story. Yeah. And here you are tonight. So, so he would be one of the elders.
He's one of the elders, and he's one of the two men that pioneered the work, and they've actually been faithfully every year. Jeff has been, I think it was his 11th time last year, and he'll be going next week as well.
Yeah. So good on you, Jeff, mate.
Yeah,
and to have the vision and to stick with that. So we'll come back in a second. Let me just play Katrina and the Waves.
Love, shine a light in every corner of my heart. Let the love light carry, let the love light carry. Light up the magic in every little part. Let our love shine a light in every corner of our hearts. Let our love shine a light
That's quite appropriate, actually. Katrina and the Waves, Love Shine a Light. 5 minutes to eight, my guest this evening, an absolutely brilliant Graham King, pastor of Evangelical Free Church in Peacehaven. And Graham has kindly agreed that he's going to come back, we think, probably the 4th of March after the trip to India and just tell us how it went. So anything else you want to say tonight, mate? Because it's been really interesting.
Well, I'd just really like to thank you for the opportunity to come be able to share this and hope that it's something that's resonated with people.
Oh,
just for their
will.
Thoughts and prayers, and if people want to support a work like that. I personally feel it's a privilege to support something like this, so perhaps some feel the same. And of course, I'd take a moment to extend an invitation to anyone in the area that would like to visit a living, loving local church. You're free to come any Sunday morning at 10:30. Peacehaven Evangelical Free Church.
Okay, and whereabouts is that?
It's 132 South Coast Road.
South Coast. This is on the main road. Yes. Okay. Listen, matey, it's been absolutely brilliant. Where are we? 4 minutes to eight. Take us up to our colleagues at the Sky News desk. Is the weekend blinding lights? I'll be straight back after the news.
Sleeping.